This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a review of major human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. Today we bring you the story of Amir Hekmati, a 29-year-old U.S. citizen being held captive in Iran. Hekmati traveled to Iran in August of 2011 to visit his grandmother and extended family. Within weeks of setting foot in the country for the first time, he was arrested, interrogated, and sent to Evin prison with no explanation for his family. Hekmati, a former Marine and decorated Iraq War veteran, is being held on charges of espionage. In January of 2012, Iran's Revolutionary Court sentenced him to death and aired a television confession in which he claimed to be a spy for the CIA. A few months later, after international outcry, Iran's Supreme Court overturned his death sentence and ordered a retrial. Hekmati's family and the U.S. State Department deny that he was a spy, yet he remains in prison awaiting retrial. For more background on this situation, we're speaking today with Amir's sister, Sarah. Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So tell me why your brother Amir went to Iran in the first place.
It was his first trip. He was going to visit family, and it happened to be during the month of Ramadan in Iran. So he was really eager to experience that, having been American-born and raised and Muslim, but just wanting to know what it's like to have holidays with relatives and family. So he was really excited about that. And my mom was a little weary about him wanting to go by himself. She just felt like, why don't you wait till another summer or another time where you can go with the family? And he just was concerned because he thought, my grandmother, she's older now. He hadn't seen her since he was 12 years old. And he thought, you know, if I don't go now, I'm not going to have a chance. There's a chance that she may not last a year. So he was really eager to go and meet with her since he hadn't seen her since he was so young.
Can you tell me what you know about Amir's time in Iran prior to his arrest?
For those 2 weeks, he was visiting relatives, staying with different relatives. And he was actually on August 29th, it happened to be the last day of Ramadan, which was Eid. And he was heading to a family gathering because they were all going to get together and he was going to meet more relatives. And the relatives said that he never showed up.
Sarah, how long did it take for your family to locate him?
After the 29th, he stopped contacting my mom, and my mom was getting worried because she wondered why he hadn't given her a call. We were getting more worried. We started suspecting that something had happened, and so finally, we really were pushing the family to tell us, you know, how come he's not answering his phone? How come he's not responding to his emails or his Facebook? And finally, a relative said that he actually had disappeared on the 29th. Nobody knows where he was taken, but they're assuming that he might have been arrested. We just spent a few days calling police stations, and nobody could claim that anyone by that name was in their system. And then the unusual thing that happened was, I want to say 5 days into not hearing from Amir, Amir called one of my relatives in Tehran from his cell phone, and he said, I'm in prison, and I wanted to let you know that, but I'll be okay. They said they're just investigating me, and I should be released soon. So we were shocked because we were trying to figure out, well, what grounds are they investigating him for?
So when you discovered he was in prison, were you able to find out the official charges against him?
It's hard for us to really grasp the formal charges. I've read in different, you know, news sources that, he was being initially accused of being a spy for the CIA. One source says that he actually had infiltrated the Ministry of Intelligence on a few occasions and tried to, like, give them false intelligence information. And that just really, like, really hard for us to grasp, given we know how high security that area is. And especially it would be like, you know, an American born and raised person just walking up to our equivalent of the Pentagon or the State Department and, you know, being able to just go in with no consequence. I'm just a little shocked when I hear that. It's a lot of confusing information. I don't think we truly have a grasp.
So, Sarah, let's go back to your brother's background. He served in the U.S. military in Iraq, and although at the time of his trip to Iran, he was no longer actively enlisted, he did have involvement with a number of businesses who work with the U.S. Department of Defense, particularly one called Kuma Games, which is a New York-based company that develops reality-based war games, including one called Assault on Iran. Can you tell me what he did for this company?
From my understanding, we were told that he was there specifically to translate. It was not to help develop or come up with a strategy for certain games. I know he never had any ill will towards Iran even. I mean, he was always interested in being able to go there, and I'm sure he would know that being involved in something like that could jeopardize his opportunity to go.
But to the Iranian government, your brother's history could raise some red flags.
It's just too obvious of a suspect to me. I feel like if someone is feeling transparent enough to have all their former military ID, their contracting ID, their work ID in their wallet, and to enter Iran, I mean, he had to have been a pretty stupid spy that wasn't trained very well.
So your mother has been to visit Amir in Iran. Can you tell me, was she able to see him?
Yeah, he had lost weight. He was very pale. We understand that as far as his conditions, he doesn't get to go out and get fresh air. In a given week, he might be given 2 opportunities in a whole week to get fresh air.
Sarah, I'm going to turn to another disturbing development in this story. Since your brother's arrest, your father has been diagnosed with an aggressive and potentially fatal brain cancer. He appeared on CNN from his hospital bed and made a very emotional plea with the Iranian government. Here's a clip.
Please, please, please release an innocent man and reunite him with his father and his mother. I hope and pray that I will get to see my son one last time before I go to the other side.
So now your brother has no idea about your father's condition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my dad had had a stroke a year prior, and then when all this had happened with my brother, my dad's physician had advised him to really kind of lay low and take it easy. My mom, she picked up the weight of the responsibilities of traveling to Iran and doing a lot of the legwork because they were afraid that my dad would suffer another stroke. And then, unfortunately, around the end of September, my father was rushed to the hospital, and when they did the scans, they found that, in fact, he didn't suffer a stroke, but they found a tumor in his brain. And they did a surgery to remove the tumor, but the cells surrounding the tumor that still exist have cancer. And so he's going through the remaining 6 weeks of treatment for the cancer. He's doing radiation, and then he'll be doing chemo after that. Now, the prognosis for that, the doctors have given not a large window of time for him to live, and we are really hoping that that's worst case scenario and that he can fight those odds, and we're just praying because Amir, unfortunately, is, you know, totally unaware of this, and probably for his sake it's better that he doesn't know, but God forbid if something is to happen and my dad doesn't do well with the treatment, I think that would be really traumatic.
Finally, what do you and your family hope to achieve by speaking out now?
We're just really hoping that this can reach the ears of those same people that had a role in annulling the death sentence and that they can take into consideration that there are factors interfering in moving forward in progress in Amir's case. Those same people that were able to overturn the death sentence, we hope that they can, you know, this can reach them and they can look into Amir's case and see that really no new developments have taken place and give him a chance to come home to his family. He's suffered in silence, no contact with family. This even goes against what we know is their due process, and they do have a system in place that allows prisoners to have rights, and he's not being granted those rights.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today, and best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you for your help with this. I appreciate it.
That was Sarah Hekmati speaking about her brother Amir, who is currently in Evin prison on charges of espionage. For more about his case, visit freeamir.org. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Iran Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening. ¶¶